Okay, welcome back, everybody. You're tuned to Radio Warrington 1332 AM, online at www.radiowarrington.co.uk, and you can also download the apps from the Google and the Apple App Stores and the Play Store. So tell your friends about us. This is The Culture Show. I'm Andy Green in the studio with Brian Spooner and Karen Stanley, and also our very special guests, Jerry Maudsley and Neil Forshaw of the George Formby Society. Thanks for joining us, guys. You enjoying yourselves?
Yeah, it's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're really enjoying it, aren't we, Brian and Karen?
Certainly are.
Yeah. We are now. While we were off air there, we were looking around at some up-and-coming events in Warrington, and there's a really relevant one coming up in 26th of May, which is a really pertinent date in any George Formby fans' calendar, because
it's George Formby's birthday.
The 114 this year.
Yeah, we were born in 1904.
That's right. And Karen, we've have you got some details?
Yeah, we've got the Ukulele Fest, and that's from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. at Warrington Market. So come and join us and celebrate the life of George Formby on his 114th birthday. Live performances of Formby classics to modern takes on contemporary music from some of the region's best ukulele players. So there's ukulele workshops, freestyle jam sessions, food and drink, and good family entertainment. So for more information, visit markets@warrington.gov.uk or telephone Warrington 632571.
Okay, and that's just one event that's going on to commemorate George's birthday, isn't it, you were saying?
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be quite a few of our members at that one, but we've also got a Formby double bill at the Stockport Plaza, which is a 1930s cinema right in the centre of Stockport, and they've got a 1930s organist that plays 1930s music. And we're hoping we're going to fill that as well, so it'll be a great Formby day for the North West.
Superb. And you were talking about the theatre before, Brian. You've been there.
Yeah, a former resident of Stockport. I used to know the plaza very well. Used to go there Saturday afternoons, the usual kids' matinees and what have you. But no, I was actually in Stockport, and I noticed there was some work being done at this Plaza Cinema. Now, I knew that the Plaza Cinema had gone through various reincarnations and finished up as a bingo hall. So I just sort of popped my nose through the door and I said to the chappie, "What's going on here?" He said, "Oh, come on in, have a look around." And he took me around, and it was in the early days when they were actually converting it back to the 30s, and it's absolutely fantastic. Yeah. Mm. They hold a lot of concerts there, but the old Wurlitzer organ, I believe, is still there, and they still play it. But yeah, it's quite something. If there's anybody that's wants to see a good show, that's the place to go. It really is. Go along there. I might even pop along myself.
And you mentioned the two films. What were they again?
Yeah, we've got two George Formby films. One's called Let George Do It.
Oh, I remember that one. It's one of the classics,
isn't it? That's one of the classics. That's where he comes out of a hot air balloon and bops Hitler on the nose and all the crowd went absolutely bananas. And another one called It's Turned Out Nice Again. This is where George works in a mill, and it was filmed in Preston, that, right, at Horrocks' mill.
Now, conventions are a big part of the George Formby calendar, aren't they? Because is it three or four a year you hold in Blackpool as well?
Yeah, we've got four a year, one in March, one in June, one in September, one in November.
And how many people tend to turn up for those events?
I would have to guesstimate around about 500.
That's over two days, is it?
Yeah. It starts on the Saturday morning, goes right through till Sunday midnight, virtually non-stop. We do have a break now and again, but it's all George Formby songs and all George Formby films.
Have we asked you about how many members there are of the George Formby Society?
There's about, at the moment, 1,200, and they're worldwide. We've got them coming from USA, Cyprus, New Zealand, Holland, Sweden, Australia, and believe it or not, Afghanistan. We've got a branch out in Afghanistan, yeah. Which is a bunch of army lads, right, that used to play George Formby songs, and they sent a letter over to us asking could they form an Afghanistan branch. So they did.
That's
and
excellent.
As far as I know, they're still there.
And I know I was looking online and actually I saw a video of you, Jerry.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, on YouTube. There's quite a few videos of you on YouTube.
I believe so, yeah. And there's going to be another one apparently tomorrow. Karen's just been filming.
There is. Karen's going to stick it online after the show, aren't you, Karen? Now, in 1991, there was actually a 3-month-long exhibition here in Warrington Museum.
There was, yes.
And I believe there was about 35,000 people came.
There was. They all trooped through the museum. There was a lady called Cherry that ran it. She was the manager of the museum. And it was mainly Alan Randall's collection. People may remember Alan Randall was a Formby impersonator, sadly passed away now. But Alan brought all his collection because Alan was very friendly with Pat Howson. George Formby's story is a great long story, but Pat Howson is the girl that he nearly married. He got engaged on Valentine's Day 1961. And bear in mind, his wife Beryl had only just died at Christmas. And here he is in February 14th, getting engaged to this new girlfriend, and he was going to marry her. But unfortunately, he died on the 6th of March, and the marriage never came off. But George had left all his worldly goods to this young lady called Pat Howson. Mm-hmm. The family, as you can imagine, were really, really upset about this, that this strange lady, if you like, had come along and snatched their inheritance. But the truth was that George had known this young lady, Pat, since she was 9 years old, because George used to buy Rolls Royces and Bentleys off her dad, because her dad was a car salesman in Preston. So he'd known her a long time, so you can imagine Beryl's died. Pat's gone round to the house consoling George. They fell in love, and that was it. But the family didn't like it, because Pat got everything.
I believe so, yeah. The local history society in Warrington had a talk on George Formby recently, and they were telling that story there, and it was the most well-attended lecture we've had in about, since I've been in the society. Standing room only, 4 years easily. Yeah.
I went there on day.
You was there, wasn't you? Yes. Yeah, I didn't see you, but you were...
I was right at the back, and we got there a bit late.
It was Pat, wasn't it? And it just shows how, you know, the longevity of George, really.
And the interest.
Yeah, interest still in the town now, and, you know, with the playing of the ukulele as well. Now, Neil, when did you get involved with the society?
About 1999, 2000. I decided I was going to do a local calendar for Newton Liverlows. And I knew it was local folklore that George Formby made his debut in Earlstown. So I had to dig out when it was. I found out when it was, 21st of March 1921, at the Hippodrome, Earlstown. And that was when George made his debut, aged 16.
Okay.
His father had only died in the February. They'd seen someone else doing George's act, his mother and George, and thought, well, if anyone's going to do his act, it should be George. He'd spent the previous 6.5 years an apprentice jockey.
Yeah, I believe so. And he didn't particularly like it, did he? Didn't he run away a couple of times and he escaped death at one time because he missed a boat or something?
He did, yes, when he was over in Ireland, because racing virtually stopped in this country during the First World War. So George's father sent 5 horses over to a trainer called Johnny Burns. He had a son, Tommy Burns, who was apprenticed at the same time as George. He trained her in Scotland at the Nace as well in Ireland. And he sent 5 horses over to Ireland for George to ride. But whenever these horses won, it usually Tommy Burns that was riding them, not George. it wasn't a very successful apprentice jockey. He was a good horseman, as he showed in his films later on.
He was bullied. He's absolutely bullied because he came from Wigan.
Yeah.
Because of his accent.
Yeah, clogger they used to call him.
Yeah, because he wore clogs. He was bullied mercilessly, and he ran away quite a few times. And Neil says, he was going to stow away on a ship called the Leinster, and he got a message to his mum and dad that he was coming home on this Leinster, and the morning after, the newspaper headline said, the Leinster has been sunk by a torpedo. But luckily, George wasn't on it. He'd been caught at the gates by the security men, and he never got on the ship, so... Had he got on the ship, we wouldn't be sat here talking about him.
He might have been unhappy, but I bet he was smiling that day, which brings me on. About this for a link, that brings me on to Neil's personal choice of song here now. And now, as well as playing some of your favourite George Formby songs, we also ask our guests to choose songs that mean something to them as well. Mm. And Neil, you chose this particular song that was written by Charlie Chaplin.
It was, yeah.
Which is?
Smile.
And why did you choose it?
I like it.
That's a good enough
Simple
reason.
As that, yeah.
Let's play it.
Yeah.